This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Good Team on Paper is a show that's just for fun and utilises the values and scoring systems of Fantasy Premier League, but is in no way affiliated to that fine organisation or the Premier League itself. As this is just for fun, you can assume that most of what we say is a joke. If you're not sure whether it was a joke or not, then it probably wasn't a funny joke. Full details of the Good Team on Paper team can be found online. Your home is at risk if you do not keep up repayments. Please gamble responsibly. You have me at hello. Is it still raining? I hadn't noticed.
Undoubtedly, the greatest team the nation has ever seen. From a yard out, he couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo.
That was as clear as day. The goalkeeper hoping to get on the end of it. And a goal! He watched the ball all the way onto his forehead.
Who should know by now to try and keep his mouth shut if he's not happy with the referee.
What a story they are! Because it's that man's goal that separates the two sides.
You have my permission to scream.
Good Team on Paper on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome to Good Team on Paper, the show all about fantasy football. It's game week 10. I still know nothing about fantasy football, even though
don't even know the game week. It's game week 9.
No, we're going into 10.
But we've just had game week 9. Surely we're working retroactively.
Fine, ruin my script.
It's game week 9.5.
Let's start again. I would like.
No. Do you know what? This is your moment of glory. I shouldn't take it away from you. I apologise.
It's game week wine night wine. I should get the wine out. Really, it's game week 9, and I still know nothing about fantasy football or even football for that matter.
Actually, do you know what? You were right first time. It is game week 10. Game week 9 has finished. You really should pay more attention, Michael. I'm sorry.
We're gonna start again.
Good Team on Paper on FUBAR Radio.
There we go. Rather than play the full intro, I'll just play that one instead. For those who... I'm Mike. I have no idea why I'm even here, to be fair. Let's just go with that. But I'm surrounded by my infamous team manager, Rob, who is abusing me already.
Hello.
And for one time only, our executive producer, Ali, is in the studio, and he's going to be talking fantasy football. Welcome, Ali! Woo!
Hello.
Yeah, we've had to dip into the emergency loan market because after a tricky European time, Budapest, Dec has come down with absent lung syndrome, and we've got Matt, obviously.
And Bundo. Matt is
he's away on passionate leave.
He is defected to LA Galaxy, so
yeah, to get some good loving in.
Yeah, I'm not overly happy about it, if I'm honest, because I would have been sat out in the gallery watching the Spurs match. Right now.
Yeah, but you probably wouldn't have been happy about that. They're already losing.
Oh, are they?
I don't know. I'm going to assume. Ali is a Spurs fan. That's Tottenham Hotspur, okay. Michael. From Tottenham in North London. This is the... Us drafting you in is a bit reminiscent of Lasagnagate, isn't it?
We don't like to talk about that.
Lasagnagate 2006... Tottenham, all they had to do was match Arsenal's result and they'd be in the Champions League. But they ate some dodgy lasagna.
Yes. Poisoned by Arsene Wenger, I hear. Allegedly.
And according to Jermaine Jesus, who was playing for Tottenham at the time, they were throwing up in toilets before the game and stuff like that. And I was like, well, yeah, that's just footballers for you.
Ali, what is your fantasy football credentials?
I have zero credentials. I play against my wife every weekend. She is beating me. Not in our league, though, which is great. Hmm. I say our league like I'm part of this.
You're an integral part. You are the glue that bonds this whole shitbag together.
They say the same in the office next door.
Yeah.
So if you want to join get involved with the show at all, we are you can drop us an email via your email system, which is goodteam@fubarradio. Yeah, I've had like three sips of cider
Jeeves.
And it's all gone wrong. Good team.
If you are an email system provider like Ask Jeeves or Lycos and you'd like to sponsor us,
goodteam@fubarradio.com.
You can catch me at AOL.com.
We're also at Fubar Radio and at Good Team on Paper as well. Or you can use the hashtag GTO Paper too, and we'll try and find it, that track it down that way. Shall we talk about some dream teams?
Can we get onto that in just a moment?
Yeah, sure.
I'd like to actually quiz Ali a little bit just about his football life in general, if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
Because all I know is that you're part Iranian.
Yeah.
And that you're a Spurs fan. And the Iranians, typically, not fond of the Jews. So, yeah, let's deal with that.
Well, I am full of self-loathing. Well, I don't know. I came home one day. I was playing out, as you do when you're a child. Mm. And I came in and I saw that there was football.
This is in London, not Tehran.
This is in England.
Yeah.
In a small town called Chelmsford in Essex. I came home and there was football on the telly. I thought, I'm going to watch this. And I recognised Gazza off of the telly.
Yes.
I recognised Gary Lineker off of the telly. And I thought, oh, I'm going to support that team. And that is why I'm a Spurs fan. There's no...
Up until now, that is pretty much peak Spurs in our lifetime, isn't
it? Is,
it
is, really. So it's not going to get any better than that.
No. And you must have had times where you really got your hopes up that things were on the mend.
I'd say at the weekend, when we could have been top of the league, but we bottled it yet again.
Well, I mean, last season.
We bottled it last season as well.
What, 3 games, 4 games to go?
Yeah, I think the crux was at Chelsea away.
And did Stephen Gerrard come and make a speech to you?
Yeah.
We go again.
We go again.
Fuck off, Stephen.
Yeah, and then he fell over. No.
Oh, Mike's just looking like a cat look at particle physics.
I vaguely remember Gazza and that guy called Lineker.
Yeah.
But I think that's more from the cheese and onion crisps advert. Tears and onion, even. That's what it was called. Anyway.
So there you have it. Ali loves Spurs. And that is how random football supporting can begin, and it stays with you forever.
Why do you support Leeds?
Oh, I'm from Leeds.
By default.
My dad didn't follow football at all. He's cricket and rugby league man. He thought it was a different time, but he thought football was for men who like men. Real men play rugby league, gentlemen play cricket.
God, that was probably what, in the 90s?
Well, I grew up in the 80s. And yeah,
so it's become much more of a female.
The only I watched two football matches with him, England Argentina 1986, where he actually swore at the TV. We're at a hotel in Torquay, not Fawlty Towers, and Leeds Stuttgart, where he read his paper during arguably the most exciting European fixture I've ever seen. But more on that later. These are my memoirs.
Which will be written down and for sale for $2.99.
You see, you mock Mike, but my poor dad died. Oh. And so here I am, half orphaned.
I'm sorry to hear that. Should we move on to a dream team?
I'm nearly 40.
Dream team! Yeah. The dream team! So, game week 9.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, agreed.
We established that.
Agreed.
It's just finished. Mm-hmm. It finished on Sunday, not yesterday.
It did.
Yeah,
it did. It was a bit strange. No, there wasn't a Friday night fixture. It was all Saturday and Sunday.
Saturday and Sunday.
Old school.
You had the possibility, if you had this team, of 128 points.
And I think just by looking at the team, it looks affordable.
Yeah, right. We haven't got the prices here.
No.
Why is that?
Because they don't have them on the website.
Oh, okay.
My copy and paste job isn't good enough.
But I would bet decent money you can buy that team.
Is that
within the 100 million limit?
Isn't that by the nature of the name Dream Team? That means you can have that team.
No, because the Dream Team is just whoever scored most in that position.
Well, I don't need to know that.
I don't believe they take into account whether you can actually afford that team within the budget afforded to you.
That's just teasing.
I'm getting a cutthroat gesture. He's agreeing. Okay.
Right.
I thought he wanted to kill me. I thought it was a gang sign.
Our new exec producer is waving through the window.
Making death threats.
It's you, Ali. He wants your job.
Yeah. I'm next.
He's wearing a tie as well, which, for me, makes him threatening.
Yeah, he looks like a football manager, actually.
Yeah.
And but he's watching pornography, so it can't be.
Anyway, yes. So let's move on to the Dream Team.
Yes, let's. I want to hear you pronounce them.
Well, there's Reed, Cahill, Shawcross, Francis.
Should we start with the goalkeeper? It's tradition.
Valdez.
That's true. Victor Valdez.
I didn't know his first name.
But, you don't have to. It's all right. But I'll give you £5 if you can guess Reed's first name.
Jeremy.
It's Winston. Obviously, it's Winston. I'll now give you £5 if you can guess his nationality.
John Winston.
Jamaican.
That's just racist. Winston Reed is from New Zealand.
Okay. Well, it was better than my other choice, which was British. So.
Well, okay. So, yeah. Gary Cahill. He scored, didn't he?
Sporting an interesting haircut.
So hang on, are we not talking about Winston Reed then?
Well, Winston Reed did decent. I mean,
he got 14 points.
Yeah.
Why was that?
Well, he scored.
He scored
94th minute in a game that was pretty drab by all accounts.
Yeah, I didn't see Match of the Day at the weekend, so it's not the best week for me to be talking about football.
Well, I mean, yeah, I think Ali's excused because he wasn't supposed to be this side of the glass. But do you know what,
but hang on, you have your reasonings, though.
I do, yeah, because my wife watched the Spurs game with me, and that was the 12:30 kickoff on Saturday, and she went, "Fuck this, we're not watching football the whole of this weekend." So
I think that's fair.
It is fair, really, isn't it? Yeah. She's a very reasonable woman.
She did her bit.
She did, yeah. She's just protecting me.
But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a classic Match of the Day,
was it not?
It was. There just wasn't all that much going on.
Mm-hmm. Did they shorten it from 90 minutes to like three and go?
No, they
okay,
don't
this
do
is
that.
It.
much like last week when we had so little to say, we got out that hour, come what may.
We've got 5 pages this time.
Yeah. Well, okay, so we got as Gary Cahill scored. I always think of Gary Cahill's first goal for Villa. Do you remember when he started at Villa?
Yeah.
And he scored that belting scissor kick.
Oh, God, yeah.
And then they sold him to Bolton for, like, threepence.
Yes.
It was peculiar because when you can't do that if you're a bad footballer. Jordan Henderson cannot do that. Johnny Evans cannot do that. Gary Cahill, centre-half, did that. I mean, I'm not saying he's a world-class centre-half, but he's obviously, he can play a bit of football. Anyway, Ryan Shawcross, I think it's his first appearance of the season in the Dream Team.
He's the smelly one, isn't he, according to Diego Costa.
Is he really?
Apparently. There's good footage on the internet of him going up to Richard Shawcross and pulling a face of, "You're smelly," and then waving his armpit as if to say, "You're smelly."
But Diego Costa looks like a man who lives in a rubbish dump.
He does, yeah. He looks about 58 as well.
Yeah.
Quite why he's pointing the finger, I don't know.
He looks like a man who drinks petrol, eats whatever he finds, including live animals, and just forages for...
Do you think he just drives down the road and go, "Oh, roadkill, amazing.
Throw it on TV!" I don't know why I did Captain Caveman. But on a side note, Reed Cahill and Shawcross sounds like a firm of solicitors. who could handle your accident injury
Have
compensation
you been injured recently?
By Ryan Shawcross. Because Ryan Shawcross, we're actually almost in the shadows of the Emirates, and Arsenal fans do not like Ryan Shawcross because he was near Ramsey.
Well, didn't he do it to him?
No, he was just near Ramsey when Ramsey had one of his many, many injuries.
Well, right.
But I mean, that's like, I don't
know.
That's
just geography, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's
well, not... you know, it's, you can't just blame someone for his record. I mean, it's like blaming a vagina for Ryan Giggs. that actually doesn't make any sense, but I'm sticking by it.
Shaqiri got 15 points.
Yes. He's got a left foot like a Latina pop sensation.
Shakira!
Yeah. He scored 2 absolute belters. And that's all he ever does.
He's got very little legs.
Yeah. He's a stocky little bugger.
Okay. Yeah.
Old school stock.
And yeah, he's Swiss. Is he Swiss or Austrian?
So. No, Swiss. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. My apologies to that whole area. But you know, you both did stuff with the Nazis. It's fair game.
Only one of you has a knife.
Yeah. But do you want to know my Swiss Army knife fact?
Go.
I have a Swiss Army knife fact. This is how neutral Switzerland is.
Okay.
There's Victorinox, who make Swiss Army knives.
Okay.
And there's another company whose name I can't remember. But because they both put forward the official Swiss Army knife, the Swiss government said, right, we'll take 50% from you and 50% from you. So there are two official Swiss Army knives.
They can't both be as good as each other, though.
All I'm saying is they're both official. Mm. But yeah, I think there's a good argument for saying Shaqiri's the best thing to come out of that area since Cuckoo Clocks and Chopper, whichever he's from. Whichever he's from. But no, Shaqiri played very well. Who's the Spanish guy that's next?
Pedro.
Oh, that's just racist. What's his name?
Pedro.
Yeah, it is in fact Pedro, who many people questioned why he should be at Chelsea at all, because he was... he wouldn't be in the team if Willian and Oscar were there, would he, probably?
Oh, probably not.
Didn't he score the quickest goal in the season so far?
He did. He did, after something like 30 seconds.
Yeah. Oh, I know something.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Man United were still getting their hair done. And
he just flew through.
Yeah. And David De Gea, of the Man United, that's the Man United goalkeeper, Michael.
Okay.
He, I think he saw his mum about to get hit by a bus the way he went running out of his goal. He went straight past the ball. He didn't care about that. He was running out, waving. And then they scored.
I'd like to point something out. So last week, we predicted Man U Chelsea would be a snooze fest. So boring. Nothing was going to happen. In reality, it was 4-0.
Yeah, I actually did. I was asleep at that point. To prove a point.
It still was quite boring then.
Well,
even though it was 4-0.
No, do you know what as well? It wasn't the sort of 4-0 game where you come away from it and go, that could have been 10. Because in all reality, it could have been 4-all.
Okay.
Chelsea deserved the win, absolutely. It's just one of those games where you look at it and you go, as a Chelsea fan, you'll be smug as buggery.
Yeah.
As a Man United fan, you'll probably be devastated. But the reality of it is that they had about the same amount of the game, and they had about the same amount of the ball, and they had about similar chances on goal.
Yeah.
It just so happened that Chelsea's went in.
That's right.
And sometimes that's how football works. No, but seriously, sometimes you come away from a game and you're genuinely perplexed. How did we get battered in that game? Because obviously as well, when you're 1-0 down, effectively at kickoff, you've got to chase the game and it changes the whole dynamic of it. So we'll never know what would have happened had Chris Smalling decided to kick the ball, as defenders tend to do, rather than watch the ball. And Pedro went on the score. But yeah,
it was only 30 seconds into the game, wasn't it, that they scored their first goal. I always think the Premiership's a little bit littered with errors. So when you go to other countries and you watch football there, you can see that it's very technical.
Yeah,
they pass the ball quickly, accurately. But when you watch an English match, it's so fast paced, you can't really play at that pace without making mistakes.
No.
So I always thought that AVB, and maybe Portuguese managers, I don't want to tarnish them with the same brush, but maybe they're a little bit overcautious and are used to their slower pace of football.
Maybe.
And maybe Mourinho just didn't quite account for the fact.
Well, under him, Chelsea never set the world alight, did they? I
mean, no, they didn't, and they were a boring team.
Mm.
That's just fact. They were boring.
He's just creating a boring Man United now as well.
Yeah, pretty much.
Which we're all in favour of, let's be honest.
Yes, everybody is.
Yeah, just one of those games where, and Joe as well, further to Ali's point there, Chris Smalling would not be a starting centre-half at any team in Germany, Italy or Spain that had title aspirations.
Well, he's their captain as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Which is even more and worrying.
That, yeah, I don't dislike him as a human being, you know, but if he's the great hope for English centre-halves, we're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, we are.
You know, Rio Ferdinand, bear in mind that right now centre-halves are going for 40, 50 million. Rio Ferdinand would be worth 100 million right yeah. now.
Well, he went for 30, didn't he?
And
that
he
was,
did.
That was, what, 15 years ago?
And it was heartbreak.
I bet. Sorry.
It was heartbreaking. Sorry, we should finish this off, shouldn't we?
Yeah. Well, we don't have to. We can keep going, but I'd like to just bring up Mane, Mane, Mane very quickly. Yeah. Because it's all about the Mane, Mane, Mane.
I mean, you've heard the phrase served up on a plate. It was such a good cross to him that he literally fell over putting it in. He tried to move out of the way of it almost. It was, yeah, he had so much time that I would have liked to have seen him voguing or something like that. Yeah. And put it in with his arse, or yeah, he just could have done whatever he wanted with it. It was pinpoint.
They've got a great deal out of Mane, haven't they?
Yeah.
If you look at, didn't he cost the same as Sissoko did for Spurs?
Oh no, Sissoko for Spurs was 30.
How much was he?
I think Mane was 23, 24.
Oh,
I don't know.
That's got to hurt. He's so much better than Sissoko.
But they are. I mean, they are different. Different players.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, they're not the same man. Sadio Mane. Senegalese footballer. I'm accessing Wikipedia here, callers. And he moved to Liverpool for... Oh, 34 million. Stand corrected.
So it's roughly the same.
Said the man in the orthopaedic shoes. yeah, so that's. I mean, that's a lot of money. That should guarantee you goals.
Yeah.
But he's a strong presence up front,
yeah,
isn't he?
He is. And pace really helps as well. Yeah. A lot of teams, that's the one thing Spurs lack. It's a bit of pace up front. We could have done with someone like Mane. It's a good player.
And I'm finishing off the midfield. You got Johan Caballé, who was always really good at Newcastle and then just fell out with them for some reason. I have no idea why.
And he went to PSG, didn't he? Is that right? Yeah.
Yes, during their let's spend all the money in the world phase.
Yeah.
We'll have all the best players we can find and Johan Caballé, please. He's good.
He's good.
But he's not Ibrahimovic good.
Rumour has it he didn't play for PSG either, so.
Didn't he?
Anyway, we'll move on.
Stat attack!
According to the man in the other side of the booth.
Well.
Oh, he didn't play much of PSG. Sorry, my bad. I'm not going to listen to the man in the corner now. So he's getting... Anyway.
Hold on.
Right.
Hold on. Point of order. Point of order. Me and my pub quiz brain. Right. 2014 to 2015. Paris Saint-Germain. Appearances. 39. Goals. 1.
That's almost 39. The whole
season. That is a considerable amount of play. That's more than I've played for Paris Saint-Germain.
Yep.
And how much were you paid to play there for them?
I did it for free, with the understanding that if it went well, I would get paid at least a token gesture amount of money.
Fair enough.
It did not go well.
Would you like a stat attack very quickly?
I think it would be rude not to mention Iheanacho, who is the only striker that made the team.
Once again, it seems to be very lacking in strikers.
Yeah, it's like they've taken October off or something.
Aguero got bored and decided to go on holiday.
8 points. 8 points makes him the top striker. Just for so you know, you get like 4 points for staying on the pitch.
Wasn't there last week it was the same as well? There was only one then.
Yeah, I mean, this... 128 points makes it seem like it's actually quite... It's
quite a low-scoring team.
No one.
Team,
only
really.
Shaqiri has really set the world alight this week. So and justifiably got the most points. So
players, get your matches out, get your gasoline out, and let's start setting the world on fire.
Yep.
Okay, stat attack.
Stat attack.
So highest points you, out there was 115. Average points was 42. Transfers made was 3.5 million. Most transferred in was Walcott. Lots of wild cards were played, and most captain was Aguero.
Three things about that make me sad.
What's that?
I got lower than average points.
Well, so did I.
And I transferred in Theo Walcott.
Same here.
And my captain has always been Sergio Aguero. So basically, you know, you spend your life thinking, I'm unique, I'm special, I'm different. Like my mum said, I'm a special little soldier and there ain't no one quite like me. Yes, I'm like about 800,000 other people. And that's just in the realms of this game.
See, I only got 1 point less than you, so...
Yeah. But, I mean, shall we talk about our little fantasy league?
Yeah, why not?
We'll do that after the break.
Ooh.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Winter is coming, and when winter comes, you know you're going to want a nice warm jumper. Sheep's wool is so 2015. You need llama wool. And if you need llamas, you need me, Carlton Palmer. Throughout my playing career for Sheffield Wednesday, Leeds United and England, I used to get cold on the bench thanks to poor quality British wool. Seeing me shake, Robbie Fowler directed me to his Peruvian connection. That didn't work out, but when I was in Peru, I learned about the wonderful warming qualities of llama wool. Now I've got a whole herd or pack or flock or whatever it is, and I'm the number one supplier of llama wool in the UK. So if you want to be warm, just call on me, Carlton Palmer, llama farmer.
FUBAR Radio presents
When We Waffle with Terry Minor, Cat Fox and Laurie Peters.
Oh, hello, it's me, Bill Nye. Oh, nothing I like more to do on a groovy Thursday from 12 to 1 to listen to When We Waffle, which is on FUBAR Radio, which is really groovy and often makes me want to dance.
Every Thursday,
When We Waffle with Terry Minor, Cat Fox and Laurie Peters.
From 12 PM on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, Claire. Jamie Callagher here, former Liverpool defender and most Scouse man in existence, 1996-2012. If you want to be Scouse like me, then have I got the clothing range to be use. We've got very lazy shell suits and tracky beads, always in stock. Need socks to tuck them into? Of course you do, our kids. We've got those too, in white, whiter, and Pringle. But no tracky ensemble's complete without a smart shirt. They come in checked, coloured squares, and chessboard effect. And all that with a reinforced top button. So, if you want to be Scouse, just call in any retailer and ask for Jamie Carragher. No thieving.
That's Jamie Carragher at all good retailers.
And a goal! Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to FUBAR Radio. We are the Good Team on Paper team. We are talking about fantasy football. Still here with Ali and Deck.
He really is Scouse, isn't he, Jamie
Ali
Carragher?
And Robbie, you're not...
My word. Yeah. I feel drenched in phlegm just listening.
Oozing with Scouse. Anyway.
I just checked my wallet. It's fine, people. It's a rude stereotype.
Don't worry, he wasn't actually
in
the studio.
I'm not going to be any part of, Mike.
Okay. Anyway, let's talk about our little league that we've got going on. The number, if you want to join, is 636-272-790-456. I will get a lovely advert done for that soon, eventually, one day. But yeah, that's our league if you want to join. And we're talking about week 9. Rob, you're looking at someone's team. Whose team are you looking at?
Graham.
He's
lovely
the top of our
Graham
league at the moment.
Graham Billing. Boom. With his team is called... What's his team called?
It's at the top.
Design Your Kit.
No.
It's called Graham Billing.
I think his team is called Graham Billing. What the fudge?
His average points is 42, and his highest points he's ever got is 115.
His team is called Team GB.
Oh, that's it.
Clever.
Yeah.
Clever.
Graham Billing.
And what he's controversially done, and, you know, shout out, progs, whatever kids give these days, is strikers. He's got Callum Wilson and Sam Vokes.
That's interesting.
People normally throw big, big cash. He's thrown his big cash all at the midfield.
Yeah, there's some big hitters there.
He's only got two strikers and goal.
No, he's also got Marcus Rashford.
Yeah,
but Rashford's not really starting. at the minute. So, but he's got Hazard for me, Bobby Firmin, Ozil Gummidge, Boss Rarkley, and Kevin De Bruyne, which is a formidable midfield.
It is, yeah. It's for midfielder.
So yeah, and he is top of the shop with 168 points and quite comfortably clear of Jamie Heath in second. But let's have a look at who did well this week, because I didn't. I got 38 points.
But that's you went up one place though.
I did.
See you in 14th
above Los Angeles based John Oliver. But I mean, that's better than I've got to give a shout out to my cousin Matt Chambers, whose team at the Aurora Brewers got 22 points. I mean, that is how?
Well, there's minus. If you go up again, there was a minus point.
Yeah, there's minus there. That's not good.
Bailey.
Yeah, Corin Bailey Ray there, and Sanchez got 6 of those points, but doing really well this week. Jamie Heath, Charlie Hulbert, and Daigoro, they were all in the 50s. I mean, that I don't know about you, but I think that's very impressive.
It is impressive. I think the highest I've ever got is something like 59 ever, so that is most impressive.
Well, I got 64 points the week before this league went live.
Ooh.
Which was a tiny, tiny bit of heartbreak in an otherwise grim world and existence that I live in.
Well, we don't know what Deck got, because Deck is not in the league for some reason or other.
He hates us.
Yeah, basically. He hasn't basically got a lung infection. He's just...
he's just in Budapest.
Yeah.
Avoiding his hideous wife with sexy prozzies. I'm just kidding.
But
Prozzies
yeah.
aren't sexy, they're tragic. It's really sad.
But what was it, 5 years ago he came 120 million in week 6
it
or
changes
something.
Every week.
But he's got good credentials, so it'll be interesting to see where he came.
You see, I've been having a look at the dream team of the season so far, because we're a quarter of the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be surprised, and you Ali will be upset at how many Arsenal players feature in this, because we've got Tom Heaton in goal, who has accumulated 39 points for Burnley, which is very impressive. I think we can all agree.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got Koscielny. 51 points there. Kyle Walker, 48. But when you bear in mind that Kyle Walker's supposed to be a creative threat as well as a defensive,
yep,
you'd think he'd be doing better.
Yeah, he's been holding back this season, actually. It's Danny Rose is the main outlet on the wings.
And you know the whole this T-threat thing that we can't fathom?
Yeah.
Koscielny is 73, Walker is 34. We don't know what that means.
the ICT thingy?
They're both the IICT thing. They're both around 34. But and the T-threat... oh no, sorry, T stands for threat. There we go. on the threat level, Koscielny is 73, Walker's 34.
Yeah, I don't know what that means.
We need Matt to come back. Yeah. That's what it is.
But I mean, Matt wasn't convinced that he understood, was he? Then we've also got Bellerin.
Great, yeah.
Who's been doing well, he's done well for me. And Theo Walcott, who is the highest scoring player in the whole game.
Still looks like a Disney princess, though, doesn't he?
Well, he looks like that's how he should sound, certainly.
Yeah.
And
how many points has he got?
He's got 58.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then you got Alexis, or Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
Sanchez. Mm. Philippe Coutinho. Etienne Capou. We decided it was Capou, didn't we?
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne, who has really gone off the boil.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a brine boil gag somewhere there.
We'll work on that for next week.
And up front, you've got Diego Costa and Romelu Lukaku.
Lukaku! Oh!
Nice.
Oh. And they're actually only... you'd think, for some reason, that Costa would have much more points than Lukaku.
Yeah.
But they're separated.
Is Costa not
points.
On there? Oh, no, he is on there, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, Diego Costa, 57 points so far. with he has a threat of 525, which when you put it alongside Kyle Walker's 34, yeah, I'd feel
he's very threatening.
I feel 525 threatened by Diego Costa. I don't know what I'm comparing it to, but
yeah. Is that sort of like the time of day not to go near him because it starts to get dark?
Yeah, 5 till 4:25.
Yeah,
the following day. Yeah. Don't just you can approach him for the 35 minutes between those two, but even then, it's best to just shove the dish through his cage and watch as he eats the bucket of fish heads.
Charming.
And then, but they let him out of the cage and look at him go. You can't tell, but he's got a little tag on his neck that they can give him a shock if he tries to escape from the stadium.
He goes in his own half.
Doesn't help a kickoff, does it? It's just like he's just buzzing on the side.
But yeah, so lots going on. But I just also briefly, before we get into other football news, yeah, this week's football, I would like to talk about the Everton defeat.
Okay, is this the Kluman manager?
I wouldn't call him Kluman because it's not his name. But
Kuman.
Everton put up it was actually arguably the game of the weekend, entertainment wise, against Burnley. And Everton were down one end with like 90 seconds to go and almost scored. Burnley went up the other end, got the winner. And this is what Ronald Koeman had to say about that.
It's hard to take because sometimes football can be so unfair, and that happened today.
And what you can hear, this noise you can hear right now, is about 20 million Englishmen playing the world's smallest fucking violin for you, Koeman. Because I want to
I can't hear it. I can't hear it. One sec. Shh. You're right. Yeah.
Fuck you, Koeman, you ginger shit. Because I want to take you back to 1993. Yeah. England playing Holland away from home, right? England need at least a draw to pretty much guarantee their passage through to USA 94, the World Cup, in the land of the free, the home of the brave, Bill Clinton's blowjob paradise, America. Right? And so we go over there with a team that's a little lopsided. You got Carlton Palmer on the right wing for some reason. But yeah, this was the Graham Taylor era. Weird things happened.
Carlton Palmer, llama farmer.
Yeah, Carlton Palmer, who is now... His llama farming is exceptional. His right wingery was not so good. I mean, he did get subbed at half-time for Andy Sinton. And Andy Sinton's right wingery, not the best. But anyway, I digress. Point is, we had to at least draw with Holland. And we were putting up a reasonable fight. Then, David Platt breaks through. He's charging into the box. He's one-on-one. He gets yanked back right on the edge of the box by Ronald Koeman. Now, whether it should have been a penalty or not, that's really debatable. The foul definitely begun outside the box, but it finished inside the box. Anyway, the new law of professional fouls had come in the season prior.
Okay.
So, he's the last man. He's got to go. Referee issues a yellow card. Yellow card. So he stays on the pitch.
Okay, right.
And what does he do about 20 minutes later?
He scores.
He scores a fucking free kick that he took twice.
Yeah, really take him on.
Right. And then later on, Dennis Bergkamp handballed before scoring the second. And guess what? We don't go to the World Cup. So, Ronald Koeman, when you say...
It's hard to take because sometimes football can be so unfair, and that happened today.
I hope you cried all night. I hope it was a night of using your tears as lubricant as you looked at your dismal World Cup record and wept and wanked and wanked and wept, and then just looked in the mirror and felt nothing but shame. But to all the Everton fans out there, unlucky, good game.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never quite forgiven him for that either.
Yeah.
It was a disgrace.
Yeah, long memories. Have I got time to just share one more long memories recollection? Because my favourite moment as a Leeds fan, genuinely, yeah, I wasn't at the game when we won the championship, but I watched us beat, I watched us draw with Barcelona, I watched us beat Lazio, etc. None of that. My favourite moment as a Leeds fan was Leeds United versus Bradford City in the League Cup in about 1998 when I can't remember who came off, Ishmael someone or other, I think, to be replaced by Gordon Watson. Do you remember Gordon Watson?
I don't. Was he a local lad?
Gordon Watson, he used to play for Sheffield Wednesday. He was just a sort of mediocre striker. And so Gordon Watson comes on and the stadium erupts in boos. Boos just raining down on this completely inoffensive player.
We're talking boo as in boo, not as in drink.
No, as in, hate. Hate steamed down, which, is common at Elland Road, but, so hate steamed, and I was next to some fairly young people. Why are they booing him? And do you know why they were booing him was that in our title-winning season in 1992, we went to Hillsborough, and we were 2-0 up when Gordon Watson dived to win a penalty. It's on YouTube. You can look it up. It's the most blatant dive of all time. He took a step and then threw himself to the ground. And they scored that penalty. We won that game 6-1 and went on to win the championship for the first time in about 20 years. But we still remembered. And we hated him enough to mark the occasion, the first occasion since that he had been on the pitch against us by booing the shit out of him. And that makes me proud. That's just wonderful. Hate is wonderful.
Amazing. Coming up a little bit later on, Rob talks to Jurgen Klopp. We're going to be talking about our predictions for the weekend, plus news from the wider world of football. Stay tuned.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
I'm Christian Fuchs, Austrian left-back for Leicester City. Ja wohl!
And I'm Stefan Kuntz, former German international and coach of the under-21 team.
2 years ago, we met at an internet startup networking event in Dortmund and set up a company that can really effectively deliver for your business.
Rather like you effectively deliver crosses sometimes, Christian.
Ha ha, of course!
Yes, studies show that brand awareness for new companies can increase by up to 5% when you slowly go Dutch with an attention-grabbing name and a website URL. It is the perfect plan of Schlieffen Attack for your startup!
You Germans certainly know your attacks and plan of attack, Christian. Although the less said about the annexation of Austria into Germany in 1938, the better, of course.
Technically, that is not the less said, but ha ha ha, yes!
So we now offer a world-beating service for naming your company and buying a unique eye-catching web address for you. That's Christian Fuchs
and Stefan Kuntz
at Christian and Stefan. Check us out at christianfandstefankate.com/betternames.
You'll never miss out on the right name again!
Hang on, shouldn't it be Fuchs and Kuntz?
FUBAR Radio presents Ian
Goldsworth. What do you look for in a lady, please, Sam?
We've established she looks for a big flat in Barcelona, so what do you look for in a lady?
Sense of humour and generally a one-bedroom flat, if possible.
Right. What have you got, Nat?
Well, I live in a two-bedroom one, but I have one bedroom.
Yeah, someone else is in that. I mean, okay. That's like saying, well, I live in a whole street, but but there are other people in all the other houses. It's not, you don't live in a two-bedroom.
I have one bedroom.
You have one bedroom.
I have a bedroom,
She's got a bedroom, mate.
Yeah. And I'm obviously hilarious.
And her mum goes to sleep, really early.
They're really early.
Every Monday, Ian Goldsworth. From 2 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Hi, I'm former American footballer Landon Donovan. That is, I'm an American who played football. I didn't play American football. Well, I did at high school. Hang on, let's start again. Hi, I'm former U.S. soccer star Landon Donovan. You might remember me from my two successful loan spells at Everton, where I was named Player of the Month in January 2010. During my time in England, I fell in love with your cuisine, most notably your kebabs. delicious bread, spicy sauce, and suspicious meat. They're amazing. That's why I brought my own mobile take on England's national dish to your great capital. If you're hungry, why not get a kebab from Landon Donovan's London Donovan? And just like I said to Yakubu and Louis Saha when I arrived at Everton, I'm here to assist you.
Good team on paper on FUBAR Radio.
Leeds Norwich, ooh.
Yeah, well, no, it's just our new Michael is a Norwich fan, and Leeds are playing Norwich, and if Leeds don't beat Norwich, I'm going to beat Michael.
our new voice from the box, basically, that's what he is. Let's talk...
Ali Junior,
yeah. What do you want to do? Do you want to do news from the wider world of football, or should we have a... Go into the Jurgen Klopp interview?
I don't know. It's not often we get a name as big as Jurgen. I think. Should we build up to that?
Do we need to tease it out a bit more?
A little bit.
So coming up, we got Rob talks to Jurgen Klopp a little bit later.
Real honour.
It was when did they play? Saturday or Sunday?
Yes.
Yeah, one of those days. Rob caught him in a dressing room and had a quick chat to him. And it's a very, very, very interesting.
Yeah, but revealing
as well, yeah. But let's talk news from the wider world of football. What have we got, guys?
Well, first of all, the Ballon d'Or have done their standard thing of wasting everybody's time by revealing nominations when we know it's going to go to Ronaldo or Messi.
Yeah, but it's also such a long list as well. Might as well just put everybody who's in the top four European teams to be fair, on this list.
When I... did the research for this, only 15 names had come out, and they go, oh, we'll reveal the other 15 tomorrow. Just like, can't we just have them all now?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, I mean, you know, fair play to Gianluigi Buffon, who's old enough to be our granddad.
Yeah, technically that's true.
I think he was first nominated for this award before the award had actually been created.
It was actually called the Gianluigi Buffon Award to start with.
No, but I mean, that is remarkable to still be... still be at the top of your game at 138 or whatever he is. I mean, like that's biblical. We're talking biblical levels. But I mean, other than that, it is just going to be. I mean, they've also taken the time to put a couple of joke ones in there. You've got who've you got? Where's he gone? I'm pretty sure. I've balls that. I'm just gonna accept that. I'm gonna take those balls on the chin and move on. But you know, you've provided us with a little stat here that the last time a player other than Messi or Ronaldo won was in 2007. I'm not entirely sure that's true because I've got a feeling Iniesta or Xavi has won it in that time. But I'm gonna take your word for it.
It was straight off the BBC website. That.
Okay.
And it was Kaká to be honest.
That was. Kaká. Yeah. Do you know why he's called Kaká?
Come on. What's the punchline?
No, it's not a joke.
Okay.
He's called Kaká. I mean, he did become Kaká when he moved to Real Madrid, didn't he? But yeah. He's called Kaká because his real name's Ricky. Comes from a very wealthy family in Brazil. His real name's Ricky. His little brother couldn't say Ricky because he's a fucking idiot. I mean, that's a really easy name. And his little brother ended up calling him Kaká. And so that's why he got the name. And Ronaldinho was called Ronaldinho because his mum was a big fan of Ronald Reagan.
Good to know.
So there you go.
Because the BBC had to put a British spin on it, the last time someone a British player won the Palme d'Or was... No, what's it called? It's Ballon d'Or. That's what it is.
Ballon. It was...
it's called a joke. That's why it's called... Yeah. Okay.
No, it was a fucking joke. It was Michael Owen.
Yeah.
Good God.
Oh, dear.
Good God. I mean, yeah, Michael Owen, fastest. I'd give him that.
Yeah.
At times.
Most dull commentator.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Most likely to be completely ignored in a conversation. Give him that. Best footballer in the world at any given moment? No. Not unless the rest of all the really good footballers had gone on a space mission.
Quickly, we've got two other stories to cover.
Okay, yeah.
Harry Redknapp, what's he done?
Well, he accidentally ran over his missus. Terrific woman. terrific woman.
He did an E17, didn't he?
Yeah, she's she's been at every club I've been
every
at.
Club, yeah.
Like Crouchy. Rumour has it he was leaning out the window giving an interview and just drove over her.
Oh dear. Maybe she's working for Sky Sports.
Yeah, my girlfriend told me this story as it broke. And as it broke, it seemed like she was actually in a really bad way. Ooh. And I said, is it bad that all I'm doing is thinking of jokes? And now she's my ex-girlfriend, because she said that was just terrible, because her entire family were killed by Harry Redknapp in a car accident.
Allegedly.
Harry Redknapp drove over them whilst giving an interview to Grazia.
Somewhere in Sandbanks.
About how to pleasure your woman. apparently you need a 4x4.
And finally, there were some tweets sent this week.
Yeah, but the most important tweet wasn't on your list.
Was it not?
Because the most important tweet came from Victor Anichebe. Have you seen this?
No, not seen this. What?
It's amazing. He tweeted, and I quote directly, "Can you tweet something like, unbelievable support yesterday and great effort by the lads. Hard result to take, but we go again." That's what he tweeted. The opening line is the key bit.
Can you tweet?
Can you tweet something like? In other words...
Was he talking to Siri?
In other words, the Sunderland PR brigade sent him that tweet and he just retweeted it.
Oh my God.
Copy and paste gone wrong.
Because this is what they do, people. Please stop thinking that anyone other than the mentalist, the Balotelli. Yeah. Balotelli's absolutely in charge of his own Twitter. and that's the worst decision anyone's ever made, but also amazing. But no, everyone else, they're being fed. If they're using words that are over 5-6 letters long, you know it.
Does that include Joey Barton?
Who's doing this? Oh, no. Joey Barton, yeah, I'm fairly confident that it's coming from... I'm not sure he's in control of his thoughts, I think.
It's like Derek Okora. He's just channeling Sartre.
He's channeling all the great Stalin.
Stalin.
Idi Amin. Yeah. All of them.
Anyway, you caught up with Jurgen Klopp,
I did,
you?
Yes. Sorry, that... Let's ignore my ramblings and let's listen to this amazing man. Love him.
Good team on paper. On FUBAR Radio.
Hi, Jurgen. Thank you so much for your time again. As you know, you're a favourite of the show. But we've got a bit of a different one for you today. What I'd really like to talk to you about is Jordan Henderson's penis. I know, it's strange, but it seems he's very proud of it, and he's been making some statements about it. Would you like to hear one of those?
I'm not interested in statements, actually.
Okay, fine, I get that. Well, the gist of what he's been saying is that it looks magnificent. I mean, is that true? How does Jordan Henderson's penis look?
Yeah, good.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, yeah, there you have it, listeners. Jordan Henderson's penis is not magnificent, but it's good. I've also heard from an anonymous source, Philip Coutinho, that it smells bad. He said a bit like a roast chicken when you've left it in a hot car, if that makes any sense to you. So how does it smell?
Not good.
Oh, dear. So there you go. It looks okay, but it smells bad, and therefore you can probably assume it tastes a bit bad as well. But finally, what about the consistency of it when he's playing? Is he at attention, so to speak? I mean, he strikes me as a bit of a flopper. How is it when he plays?
Not too soft, but not too hard.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. He's neither one thing nor the other, is he, Jordan Henderson? He's neither a great player nor a terrible player. He's neither fully erect nor completely flaccid. I always knew he'd be constant semi kind of guy. But just before you go, I've got a joke for you. Do you want to hear it? I'm going to tell you anyway. What's the difference, right, Jürgen, between jam and peanut butter? Well, Jordan Henderson can't peanut butter his flaccid penis in on a night, can he? you're too kind. Well, next time, hopefully, we'll be able to talk about football, but I'm here to give the listeners what they want. All right, thank you, Jürgen. Bye-bye.
Good team on paper. On FUBAR Radio.
Jurgen Klopp there.
Yeah, hopefully we can now stop getting all those letters in about fucking Jordan Henderson's cock. Guys, seriously, we're here to talk about football. Not your fantasies with footballers. It's a completely different thing. And pick someone else.
So we've got the last 5 minutes. We'll talk about our teams, our predictions, and the top tips for the weekend. So where are we at? What fixtures do you think will be...
Goalfest!
One is leaping out to me, and that's Palace-Liverpool.
Yeah, I can see that, actually. It totally depends, actually, how Liverpool set up.
It does. But, I mean, a fact that Match of the Day shared with me exclusively over the weekend is that Liverpool have been involved... Since Jurgen Klopp took over a year ago, Liverpool have been involved in 126 goals, which is more than anybody else. So that's scoring and conceding.
And against, oh, okay.
And Benteke's going to have a point to prove.
Yeah, of course.
And... I don't know. I can just see that ending up like 4-2 either way. I think more likely Liverpool, because they're looking pretty hot right now.
Yeah, Liverpool, I think, are much stronger at home than they are away. So that I think you're right. I think there could be lots of goals in that, and it could be a tie. I think it'd be tighter than that. I think it might be 3-2.
Okay. 3-2. What's your goal first?
My goal first is Spurs-Leicester. I am a little bit biased about this, but I think Spurs... this season have been a little bit hit and miss. Haven't quite run against a team like Leicester, as physical as Leicester. Mm. I think Leicester also... Spurs aren't very good when they've got somebody quick running in behind. Yeah. And Vardy is very, very... We always struggle with Vardy. So I think both attacking teams, so like the Spurs forward line and Leicester forward line, we'll enjoy that game, I think.
Well, Gary Lineker's been heard to ask, are they tight at the back?
Leicester, they've been... The trouble is they've got an Asian back line. Asian back line, basically, yeah.
Okay.
And as we know, they don't make the best footballers. I'm speaking from personal experience.
Are they all made in Taiwan? Or
yeah.
Well, we've got the Prince of Persia here.
Exactly.
He's allowed to say it. It's not weird.
Exactly. It's not racist if you are Asian.
What about...
Snooze Fest!
Middlesbrough-Bournemouth is not exciting me.
I'll tell you what, Bournemouth did not try and play football on Saturday. We've got a lot of stick, obviously, because of Sissoko's elbow.
Well, and the fact that Lamella should have been sent off. And
that's debatable, I think.
It's debatable in so much as, should he have got a second yellow card? Let's debate it. Yes, he should. Mm. I mean, there you have. Once
debate,
he's got
really.
The first one, the second one was a yellow card offence. He got... He hacked someone down from behind.
Yeah.
Okay. But we've been digressing. We're digressing.
We're digressing.
Yeah.
You're supposed to keep us on track. Normally, Ali would be out there keeping us on track.
I am. Don't worry. I'm letting you talk. It's an interesting conversation.
Yeah, for me, Middlesbrough-Bournemouth.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with you on that one. Actually.
Sticks out like a sore thumb. I think Watford-Hull is actually going to be surprisingly good. Because they both need points.
Yeah, and Hull do play good football, actually. Mm. So I think, that'll be a good game.
What about a bit of a...
Points fest!
I think if you're an Arsenal fan, pile on your strikers, because I think Sunderland are going to get taken to the cleaners at Saturday lunchtime.
Do you think?
Yeah. I mean, they are struggling against mediocre teams, and when Arsenal are on... I mean, don't get me wrong, Arsenal could easily have lost against Middlesbrough.
Yeah.
It was a weird one. But even so, Arsenal could quite easily have scored 4 or 5 themselves.
So who will you be transferring in and who will you be ditching this weekend?
Well, much in line with our... Yes, we've had a tweet interaction.
Yeah, from FPL Jesus.
Yeah.
Of all people, he must know.
He said, keep hold of Aguero, and I think he's absolutely right. I'm actually not going to make any transfers this week because I can't conceive that all my players are going to keep performing this badly. I've got a good bunch.
If you want to tweet us, we are at Good Team on Paper. You can also tweet us at FUBAR Radio as well, or you can use the hashtag GTO Paper.
Are you transferring anyone in?
Yeah, right? I've brought in Benteke because I think he's going to get a few points this weekend.
Fair enough. Well, we're coming to the end of the show, unfortunately. So that has been your lot. This has been Fubar Radio. We've been Good Team on Paper. If you want to check us out, anything like that, head over to the Fubar Radio website, fubarradio.com. You can also check out our previous episodes over there as well. Thank you very much to Rob and Ali for being here. Executive producer Ali.
No problem.
I've been Mike.
I've been short-term loney Alessandro Alessandro.
And I'm Alessandro Del Piero.
Oh, controversial. He does look a bit like him.